Heavenly Father, Lord, we're before you with our hearts filled with joy. Lord, just beginning our day with praise with you, and now hearing you wooing us and calling us back into your presence again this afternoon. Lord, just feeling the rhythm of your heartbeat every day, morning, noon, and night. Just coming to your presence. Lord, we know it must delight your heart to see your children desiring to spend this time with you. This is the desire of your heart. Lord, it's your highest priority for our life that we have this deep, abiding intimacy with you. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for that fountain that you're opening to us to just come and be refreshed in your presence this season, Lord. It is a gift, Lord, that we receive with joy, because in your presence is fullness of joy. Lord, I pray this day that we would just continue just to dance in that fountain, Lord, knowing you're showering us with your love. But Lord, that fountain is also for cleansing. And that's why we're here at this noon hour, Lord, to seek your face, to hear your heart, and to have a real heart-to-heart talk with you, to get real face-to-face, to look into your eyes of holiness and perfection, and to hear our Father's heart telling us, son, daughter, this needs correction. And help us to be honest, Lord. Speak to our hearts today. Speak to our hearts for your entire body, where those weak ligaments and joints, or where they need a touch of the great physician's hand as our Savior, our Redeemer, Lord, where there needs to just be an application of your blood, Lord, to bring us back into wholeness. We need to repent. Help us to hear your heart, Lord, we pray. We thank you, Lord, that you love us that much to not leave us in the condition we're in, but that you're going to see us through until we are infinitely perfect like your son, that we look like him. And we do, Jesus. We want to look just like you because we adore you. We love looking into that wonderful face. And we don't ever want that light to not be shining upon us. So bring us out of the dark. Bring us out of hiding. Help us to confess our sins to you today, in Jesus' name. Good afternoon. It's a joy to be with you all this afternoon. Thank you for being here. This noon hour is a hard one, right? I mean, we're setting ourselves on the altar, with the refiner's fire, the launderer's soap. We're setting ourselves up to be cleansed and purged, but it's necessary. And we do it because we love our Lord. We want to honor him. And we want to be whole. We want to be holy. We want to be a healthy body. And as long as there's any sin or disease or sickness that's blocking us from our relationship with the Lord, we have to deal with it. You know, this morning we were talking about, you know, our devotional time, about how David wanted to bring revival to the nation after years and years of under the reign of King Saul, where the people were in a very religious low point. They weren't following the ordinances of the Lord. They didn't even know where the ark was. David wanted to bring the ark back into the center of the community and bring worship back, bring revival back. But when he attempted to do it in his own strength and in his own understanding, you know, he wanted to do something for the Lord. And the Lord's like, I don't need you to do anything for me. I just want you to obey me. I want you to trust me. I want you to believe me. So David had to make that correction. It cost a man his life. When the church is not living according to God's commandments, according to the rules of law in here, in the Bible, when we alter, make adjustments, decide that part of it isn't necessary, we got to go with the culture, we cost people their lives. And we're talking about eternal life. And so it's important that the body of Christ, the church of God, the bride of Christ, that we walk in purity, and that begins with the purity of the Word of God, the full counsel of God. We don't get to pick and choose. God wrote it. We just have to feed on it, ingest it, believe it, and live it. So there's this really great story. I think God has a sense of humor. He puts things in the Bible like this so we can just kind of smile. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts was captured by the Philistines, they were rejoicing. This was long before David was bringing it back. We're going back to 1 Samuel. That was 2 Samuel this morning, 2 Samuel 6. This is from 1 Samuel 5. It's the story of when the Philistines thought they had conquered the God of Israel, and they bring the Ark of the Covenant into their temple of Dagon. And I'm just going to read it. So the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it before Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early in the morning, there was Dagon, fallen on his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it back on his place. They had to help up their god. Their god couldn't handle himself. They had to help him up, set him on his place. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. This time, the head of Dagon and both of the palms of his hands were broken off on the threshold, and only his torso was left. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh toward us and Dagon our God." Therefore, they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" This story is a great story to show us how powerful and mighty our God is compared to any other God. That here is a false God. That, I mean, even it was just an idol. And the Lord, it's just funny. He allowed it to fall on its face before the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, just this piece of wood, hay, and stubble, just to prove the point that this God of yours can do nothing. And they thought they were okay because, well, their God just bowed before the God of Israel, but he wasn't broken until the next morning. The next morning, his head was off, his hands were off, and all that was left was his torso of this false idol that they had built for themselves. And I share this story as we go to our time of repentance because I want to see it from a different viewpoint. You know, we can bow before God. We can give our lives to Christ. He can come in, save us, forgive us of our sins, and then we're good to go. And we can go about our life as a Christian, but still living in the world, not really thinking about the heart of God, not thinking about what breaks his heart. At some point, God's going to get a hold of us and he's going to arrest us. And it's not just going to be us bending the knee to God. It's going to be about us being completely broken before God. Dagon was broken. It wasn't enough for their idol to fall down before God. God was like, "This idol is crushed." That's what God wants to do in our lives. That's what our Lord intends to do. When he calls us to repentance, when he comes into seasons like this and he wants to clean his church, when he wants to cleanse his people, he wants us to be broken before him. And he's going to cut off our hands. He's going to cut off our head. He's going to say, "You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own mindset. Jesus is the head of the church. He's our glorious crown. None of us are. No matter how much we do in works, it's not going to be enough to honor our God." David, try that. He tried it. "I'll honor God my way." And God said, it's going to cost a man his life. You do it my way. Then you can dance before the Lord. Then you can have joy before the Lord. But we have to be broken before the Lord. And that's what he has for us today. Are we willing to let God break us? Are we willing to allow him to show us those areas of our life that we still have control of, that we still sit on the throne of? Because he's supposed to be Lord of our life, not just Savior, but Lord. Lord and Savior. Lord means he sits on the throne of our lives in the position of power and authority, and we don't tell him what to do. We bow completely before him. Are we willing to do that? Because as we see here in this story, the plagues came along the people. Are we causing plagues to the land? Are we causing disease? Are we causing destruction because we're not willing to be broken before the Lord? We need to ask ourselves that. We need to be really honest with ourselves. Are we bringing weakness to our homes and our families because we're not willing to address the sin in our lives? We need to look in the mirror and ask ourselves that. We can't blame anyone else. We can't blame God. We need to get honest. And I really think that's what the Lord's asking us to do in this season, is just to really get honest and confess our sins. Because, you know, we talked about this morning that God's work must be done his way or we don't get the blessing. But if we do it his way, we get the blessing. If we let him be God and we just surrender and we follow his precepts, we follow his commandments, he's going to bless us. It's a promise. He will bless us. And we want blessing to come to our land. I mean, we know from 2 Chronicles 7:14, the answer, the remedy, the key in that scripture is about us humbling ourselves before the Lord and praying and seeking his face. We need to repent and pray and seek his face. You know, when we take and we alter the word of God instead of coming to the altar of God, if you notice, it's just one letter there, alter, A-T-A-L-T-A-R. And then if you alter it, A-L-T-E-R, it's just one letter. It's just one letter. And if you know anything about the Hebrew letters, Hebrew alphabet, Hebrew writing, the words are extremely precise. I mean, right down to every letter having a digit associated with it. And if you go through the scriptures, every verse calculates a certain number, and every number means something. It is so precise that when he says, it's in Matthew, right? Matthew 5:18, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till it's fulfilled, till he fulfills it, right? What does that mean? If the word of God in the Hebrew language is so precise down to the letter, every number, letter calculated, you can't miss a stroke. You can't miss a dot because then you ruin the calculation. It's a perfect calculation here from Genesis to Revelation. It's a beautiful calculation. This is God's geometry. It's God's mathematics. And you can't take a word out of it. And we know from the end of the book of Revelation, right? What does it say? If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And then if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. We can't alter this book in any way. It doesn't matter how the culture is flowing. We're not meant to flow with the culture. We're to be cultural. That's what Jesus was. He was countercultural. That's what the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be salt and light. And so, but we need to come out of the dark. We need to be emptied so that light that's in us is in no way hindered. It's not diffused. That we present a portrait and an image of Jesus Christ that is clear and precise and beautiful and worthy of him, and not at all defamed or diminished by our sin, by our selfishness, by our worldliness. So let's go before the Lord. And remember, we're here standing on the gap in the gap for the church in this land, for this world, for our nation. And we just need to repent. Whatever the Spirit lays upon your heart, pray it out and pray it so everyone can hear it. Whatever scriptures the Lord leads to, please fill the atmosphere with the Word of God. You can come up here and you can pray on this microphone here on the carpets or at that microphone there. I just want to encourage you that there are people listening and they want to hear the Word of God. They want to hear the prayers and be able to connect with us. We're trying to blanket this nation in prayer. That's what God's called us to do, to link our arms from coast to coast, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills to Calvary Chapel Knoxville and all over the country, praying, fasting, and seeking his face and getting honest with the Lord so he can make us strong again. He's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He's a militant God, a man of war who's coming to fight for his bride. He's fighting for us. He's warring for us. But we've got to let him do that cutting, refining, and purifying work in our lives so he can accomplish his purposes in us and through us and bring healing and blessing to our land. Let's get on our knees before him if you feel led to do that, whatever your prayer posture is, and let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have given us your word and the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit to help us, Lord. Just ask that you would speak to us now and do your sanctifying, purifying work within. Lord, show us. Show us our hearts, Lord. We lay them before you. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before you, me, Lord. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge, Lord. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. O Lord, break us open. Help us to be willing to be broken. It's been said that you can't use someone fully until they have been totally broken, Lord. God, we want you to have all of us not holding anything back, Lord. So come and take possession of what is rightfully yours. Come. Lay hold of our hearts and do your thorough, fiery, cleansing, purifying work. Our hearts are before you in Jesus' name. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. And as for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression, and under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them in his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why did the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand, The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his hand. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. So, Lord, we pray. Lord, this prayer of repentance for pride, we repent of pride, Lord. It's also known as vanity. It just means that we believe our own ability without recognizing you, Lord, without recognizing your grace. Psalm 10 says, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him, and in all his thoughts, there is no room for God. But you say in Proverbs 8 that to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. And in Proverbs 16, that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Lord, you tell us in Philippians 2 to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. So, Lord, we repent of pride. And God asks that you would give us your character, Jesus, which is humility. You are the most humble man that ever walked this earth, Lord. You tell us to take your yoke upon us and learn from you because you are gentle and humble in heart. Jesus, we want your heart. We don't want to stand against you. We don't want to stand in anyone's way of coming to you. God, break our hearts open. Remove this ugly, disgusting evil called pride. Crush it and remove it, Jesus. Cut it off at the head and at the hands. Humble ourselves, Lord, you say, before you, and you will lift us up. Come, Holy Spirit, and cleanse us of this evil in our lives. Make us into a beautiful reflection of the humility of Christ. Isaiah 1. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have become like Sodom. We would have become like Gomorrah. Wash yourself. Make yourself clean. Put away your evil doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. O Lord, we cry out on behalf of the wickedness of this land, God, the immorality and the corruption, God, the evil that is in it both day and night. God, help your church to rise up to be salt and light. Help us to rid ourselves of the things that are hindering us, Lord, from being bold and courageous, for being a channel, a clear channel through which you can flow your blessing upon the earth, Lord. Show us, Lord. Speak to our hearts now. We want to honor you, Lord.
Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and healed them. Oh, Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, across this nation, Lord God, for turning your sacred dwelling, Lord God, into a secular place, preventing people from accessing prayer, Lord God, in turn preventing healing. Because it wasn't until the temple was cleaned that the blind and the lame had access to you. Oh, Lord God, may we look at what our actions are producing. what is being produced in the church? Are lives being healed? Are chains being broken? Are the lame walking? Oh God, may we do better. May we realize the power of prayer, the privilege, God, we have to access the mercy seat. We repent, Lord God, of taking what is holy and making it what we want it to be. May we serve you and love you and worship you the way that you desire, the way that you have ordained. Forgive us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Revelation 16, 5 through 7. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due." And I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Heavenly Father, your judgments are righteous. Lord, we are so unworthy of your love. But yet you love us anyways. And Lord, I just thank you for Jesus. I thank you that by his blood shed that we are able to come to the altar and to confess our sins and to repent, and you are so faithful to wash us clean. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts and that we would be as obedient in handing them over to you to do the work that you desire in us. Lord, you are so good, and we are just so grateful for your faithfulness to do the work in us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes down suddenly in an instant, and he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He will not spare, so that there shall not even be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses, and therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you will flee, till you are left as the pole on top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Oh Lord, please help us not to turn away from your gracious callings. God, we pray for all those right now whose hearts are turned away from you in rebellion. Send forth your Holy Spirit, Lord, to pour out your grace into their hearts, to turn them to you, to turn away from their wickedness, their oppression, their evil. Give to those who hate you and your word a love for your people, a hunger for your word. You did it for Saul in an instant and gave him eyes to see and made him Paul, the greatest evangelist the church has ever seen. God, do that. Breathe your spirit across this land. Stop every evil in its place and bring the wicked to their knees. Break off their hands and their heads. And let them be surrendered to you fully, Lord. Break our hearts open, God.
Dear Lord, I just come before you, Lord, and just ask for forgiveness, Lord, for lust, Lord, and in so many different ways, Lord. I just ask that you would forgive me, Lord, and also on behalf of your church, Lord. We just are so lustful for so many things, Lord. And in Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit this kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Dear Lord, our my flesh, our flesh is so wicked, Lord. And we just ask daily, Lord, that we would die to our flesh and put on Christ, Lord. We have the victory of Jesus, Lord. We have the blood that was shed, Lord. And we just thank you for that victory, Lord. Dear Lord, just break the chains, Lord, that the flesh tries to throw on us every day, Lord, through your blood, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we do have that victory in you. And we thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Lord. Lord, just work on me, work on your church, Lord, to have our eyes totally focused on you, Lord, and not giving in to the pleasures of the flesh, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Father God, creator of the universe, lover of our souls, forgive us for not praying for our enemies. The battle is yours. But the instructions you give us are simple and plain. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for your enemies and above God, above all God. Love God. We love you, Lord. Forgive me for not praying more for my enemies. Forgive me, Lord, for looking so forward to your coming that I forget those who will not be with us. Lord, put words in our mouths to minister to those who are lost. Give us Holy Spirit power to see them and know who they are and not turn from them. Lord, I just look at my neighbors all around as I walk in the morning with yard signs and the tagline of our day. Help me minister to them and love them. Father, I just ask for a downpour of Holy Spirit over our city and our nation. That the scales fall off the eyes and people fall to the ground in humility and repentance. Make my heart clean, Lord. Help me see the log in my own eye. I praise you, Lord. I praise you for your loving kindness. I praise you that you pulled me from the muck and the mire. You pulled us all from the muck and the mire, that you saw us. You are Eloi, and you are the God who sees. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the authority of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. O Lord, that every tongue that would profane your name would be silenced, and every tongue would be loosed to speak the beauty of that holy, saving name of Jesus. It's the sweetest name we know. Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us and washing us, shedding your blood for us that we can be saved. We owe everything to you, God. Come, take our hearts, run away with them, and give us your strong heart. You promised to give us a new heart and a new spirit within us. Pour out your spirit on this land, Lord. Spirit of repentance, God, bring us to our knees that we may exalt your holy name, Jesus.
Lord, we worship and praise you. We ask that you open our eyes and our hearts. Allow us to hear your word and to follow your path. We ask that you allow us to be your light, Lord. And in Psalms 98, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and faithfulness.
thank you, Lord Jesus, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. O Jesus, we praise you, Lord, for the gift of this hour, to get on our face before you and allow you to wash us clean with your word. Help us to go out and shine as lights in the world, radiating your love and light to everyone we see. We give glory and honor to your wonderful, glorious name. Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Go out in the joy of the Lord today and be a blessing to everyone you meet. And I look forward to seeing you at 6 p.m. this evening. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.